You're listening to Beyond the Page with Wesley Baker, the podcast where books become conversations. In each episode, Wesley will be joined by host Miranda Kilstrom as they explore the stories, inspirations, and journeys behind his writing. From memoirs drawn from a life of travel to gripping novels filled with intrigue and romance, every page has a story, and here, those stories go beyond the page.
Hey, Wesley, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Nice to be back.
Brilliant. Oh, that's great. Oh, do you know what? I've really been enjoying this book, Wesley, and I can't thank you enough for bringing it to life. And I know in our last session we chatted a bit. Oh, session, sound a bit like a psychologist there. we talked about how you planned the book. But today I really want to chat about the characters because I absolutely love, I so want to meet the surf guys. You know, it sounded fantastic. So, tell me a bit about the surf guys and the memories you have with them.
Well, they probably made that season one. They really made it for me, to be honest, because it gave me a life outside of the travel industry. It gave me a life outside of the other reps and everything else. And it let me escape in what I love to do, which is surfing. And it was by accident because I really, you know, I was missing my surfing already in the first few days. And when I walked down the street and found his shop, the surf shop, I was really, really taken back. And at first I thought it was just a windsurfing shop, but that would do. You know, I'm a surfer, but I could cope. I come from a town of windsurfing. So I thought, oh, that's fine. You know, bound to be someone to talk to. And I got in there and there were surfboards in there and we started talking surfing. And then he introduced me to the other guys, and which were fantastic. They were three totally different characters, but together they were awesome. And then off of that, there were other characters as well. You know, out of the group, and they opened up a world for me, from going out drinking to just meeting up. You know, we'd quite often have a siesta in the day, and I'd get up afterwards, have a quick shower like you do, have a shower, get changed, and I'd jump on the little Red Devil moped that I had and shoot down to this little cafe. And in this cafe, I would sit down and the guys would be there, you know, or they'd come along, you know, because there was no mobile phones in those days. So, you know, and we just sit there talking and chatting. And, oh, it was wonderful times and great experiences. And we had some great times together surfing as well. It was fantastic. They were a great bunch. And of course, the lead character in the surfing group, Sergey, he wasn't just a surfer. He was also involved in other businesses, which I didn't know until later on. And, you know, he was involved in ceramic tiles and manufacturing of those and everything. And, you know, we got to experience Barcelona with them and everything. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful time with them.
An experience. And I know I felt a little bit jealous when I read that, because I know when I was a holiday rep back on all those years ago, similar time to yourself, one thing that I do remember was that you didn't really meet that many people outside of your tourism world. So your whole life revolved around hotels, other reps, airport duties. So meeting people, it's been amazing. Opportunity.
Yeah, I think also I was perhaps a little bit different. I don't know. When I look back, I didn't really mix too much throughout my whole career overseas with too many reps. Really, I just didn't. I kind of had the ethos that I was overseas there to experience and live the lifestyle in that country as well as with the reps. Obviously, you have the work engagement that goes on. But if I had any social time at all, it was generally with other people, other nationalities, other individuals, and that's how I did it. And so my relationship wasn't, you know, in other resorts as well, I had similar relationships throughout my career. But certainly these guys were really strong. They were a strong bond for me. But it wasn't, and from them, people say I'm good at networking. Well, I actually think I'm rubbish, but apparently I'm good at it. But I found I opened up a huge network within their friends, and it was as if I belonged there. Well, in fact, I did belong, because, you know, even the little joke of going into the El Toro bar, and I think that's in the first book, where you know, they push me in, and
yes, they do. They lead you astray quite a bit in the book, actually, Wesley. Yeah, they're always going, come on.
Yeah, they do. And they push me in there and they get me to drink these drinks. They called it apple and peach and stuff like that. I didn't know it was schnapps. I really didn't know. I was a bit naive, maybe. And how many are you supposed to drink? And they said, oh, you know, 15, 20, it's okay. You know, so I was like downing them. And I stood up and I have that evening is the only time in my whole life where I cannot remember too much, because I remember standing up, climbing the trellis. I remember being in the car, and I remember, you know, I've got to be careful I use the right name now. I remember Esteban saying, no, sorry, Bruno saying, oh, God, gave away a name there.
See, you've forgotten your characters.
Yeah.
You're getting lost in your books.
Yeah. Like Bruno saying, how are you doing back there, Wes? And I just said, I'm surfing in the back. And I was in the back of this car, just rolling around. Oh. And then I just remember the nightclub a little bit. And that's all I remember. And I don't even remember getting in bed that night or anything. And I just woke up totally nude in my bed, you know, as if, I mean, I must have got home and must have just got in bed. I don't know.
Things could have been worse, Wesley. You could have woken up somewhere else.
I could have done. To be perfectly honest with you, but I was so gone and they said it was hilarious. They said they'd never seen someone. My legs were gone and everything, but I wasn't sick.
No. Obviously, it's like heaven's mobile phones weren't around in our day, eh?
Jeez. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Terrible.
We have to keep it in our own, locked away in our own wonderful memories.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah. So they're three good characters. I enjoyed those, obviously. Yeah. What about the others?
Which leads me on to the love triangle, Wesley. Right, let's talk about the love triangle. Actually, it's more of a hexagon, I think, that's going on rather than a triangle. So, yes, you may not have hung out with the other reps, but I don't think you had time in between surfers. We've got Lelena, Sophia, Lucia, Elizabeth. Come on. Yeah. There's quite a few leading ladies in your memoirs there. Sorry, it's not a memoir, is it? It's a journey.
Yeah, it is a journey. Well, they're all different. Every relationship was different. And, of course, I was actually seeing someone, but she was overseas as well. So probably looking back, it wasn't the best, but I was very conscious of all that. I think probably out of all of it, the Sophia situation was the most incredible.
Oh, she sounds beautiful. An amazing lady.
She was. She was extremely elegant, and everything you imagine a well-to-do Spanish young woman to be, really. You know, long flowing dresses, very well spoken, extremely well put together. She was adorable. She really was. She was adorable. And of course, she was engaged, which made things a little bit. Yeah.
I'm sure I covered that in the book. Was she? Yeah.
Well, things kind of happened, and it was kind of like a bit of arrangement. She came from a very wealthy family in Catalonia and in that part of the world, Tarragona, that area. Different times, different circumstances. Elizabeth, on the other hand, she was a German rep. Mm-hmm. She was very, very looking back, I didn't realize that I probably would say categorically that maybe she was in love with me, and I didn't know that. She was with someone in Germany as well, but she was, the amount of times she was telling me that it wasn't really there, you know.
Was there some heavy hinting that you didn't pick up on, Wesley?
Yeah, and only looking back, and when I was writing the book, I suddenly started really, really, you know, with experience, you look back and say, oh, my God, she couldn't have put it more clear. I didn't see it.
I think you had time. I think you'd have to shoehorn her in somewhere.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. But she was fantastic, and she was with me all the time, and she was like a rock, actually, that season, because she was always available, and of course how we became friends was I'd seen her sitting alone quite a few times in the hotel lobby, and I'd felt sorry for her, really, and I thought, you know, no one's talking to her, none of the Thompson reps, nothing, no one was talking to her, and I thought, why, you know, and I just went up to her and I spoke to her, and that's how we got chatting. And then when I asked her to go for dinner, she said she couldn't because the hotel wouldn't let her have meals, And I wasn't having that. So I walked straight in, spoke to the hotel manager, and told him that they're doing it. He didn't have a surprise. And of course, there's a little bit of a caveat to my whole role in Costa Brava then and everything. And a lot of people don't realise that I was more than an overseas rep in my career. At that point, my career had evolved. I'd actually stepped back into this in 92, into this position, really. Mm-hmm. So I'd already been contracting hotels. I'd already been senior relatively in Thompson's at that point for a very young age. And I was originally on a directorship role to go, aligned to go up to a director of a Thompson Holidays. So I knew an awful lot about the industry, and my connections were very, very good. And so I guess maybe I scared a lot of people, not intentionally, but maybe the way I came across, particularly with the hotel management, they knew my background a little bit. And I think, you know, when I came in and said I wanted this, boom, 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 they didn't kind of argue with me ever and went through.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I didn't mix that well with some of the reps as well. I don't say I didn't mix well, I mixed well with everyone, but why I didn't probably have that closer relationship, because probably I'd kind of evolved myself really past that at that stage.
Yeah, and I think because you've got these outside relationships going on as well.
There was a lot of distraction.
Exactly. And there wasn't really a void, was there? There wasn't a void, so you was quite happy.
No. I had a very, very good, very good, very good life. Sophia was a short period in that, actually, but she was a very strong period. Elizabeth was with me throughout, really. You know, receptionist Lucia, she was good, gorgeous when I think about it. She was lovely as well, but she was engaged to someone in St. Albans.
Oh, right. Okay.
So she became very friendly, and we got on very well there. But I think, I don't even know whether she ended up getting married, but that was very fun. And we had lots of, and there was others as well.
Happened in the 90s, didn't it, Wesley? Actually, we can't move on from this section until you tell me more about Lilena.
Oh, okay. What would you like to know?
Because Lilena, how I remember from the book, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that she blew hot and cold.
Yeah. In fact, she apologised just recently to me, which was really, really nice. Yeah. She was young, I was more mature than her, obviously, and we'd been together probably about 2 years. At that point, 2 and a bit years, and we used to see each other quite regularly. And I paid for her to come out, which was a lot of money at the time on the salaries to come out, and she came out, and she was very, I don't know, things weren't right. We got on really well when she was there, but things just didn't feel right. You know, I just felt that she perhaps baited me a little bit when we were out there, and we had a good time, but there wasn't the, I think because... I certainly had a thing for Latin women. That was very clear. And you know, I built this relationship with these Spanish women as well. And maybe there was a bit of a comparison going on, and I was starting to see there was a different level of maturity maybe and everything. But we got on very well. We had a great time together, and she was very up, and I was very upset when she left, and she was upset. And then things moved on. And then, you know, when I eventually went to Czech Republic to be with her more on a permanent basis, that's when things really went south. And I actually wrote, there were three chapters not included in the book that I took out that went into that, and I thought it wasn't appropriate for the book. So I took them out of the book because this wasn't supposed to be a romantic novel or anything like that. So I took them out of the book because they weren't needed to be in there. But it was ridiculous. And I probably, at that point, had a weak moment near the end of the season, and I let my guard down. And we all know as reps that we get hit with mental pressures, physical pressures, absolutely, of tiredness, and constant
away
smiling.
Away from home. Yeah,
everything hits you. And I've always been very good at dealing with that, but I had that was a weak point at that point because I got hit. I had the sort of affair with Sophia. I'd had some other little things knocking around, and then there was a lot going on. I was happy, really happy, but I was also kind of lonely, if you know what I mean. It's difficult to describe. Yeah, I was happy but lonely, and I was perhaps looking for something, and then I made a silly mistake, and that was it. And you know, but we still talk. When we separated and everything else later on, post book, we had a bad falling out, very bad one actually. It's pretty horrendous. from there, I remember I wrote a letter to her and I said, if you ever need me for anything, no matter what, when 10, 20 years time, you know, you reach out and I'll be there for you. And she did. She actually reached out in the late 1990s. And I had suddenly had a phone call and I forwarded on my new details, funny enough, to her parents, and I had a phone call and she reached out for something. She wanted some help with her relationship and which I did. And then we've remained friends, which is very good. It was wonderful. Quite funny, actually. Just a little story to tell you. She actually asked for a copy of the book and I was like, oh, God.
The names might be changed, but she knows what the plot is.
Yeah. I was thinking, that's covered fine, but I was thinking more she doesn't know about all the rest. I was thinking, oh my God, what have I done here? You know. So I've kind of put it off a bit. She kept on saying, Where's my book? And I thought, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So I sent a copy. And that's when she actually contacted me because I never realised how much I hurt you and I'm so sorry for I ruined everything. And I said, well, okay, it's fine. That's a long time ago, you know, it's 30+ years ago. But isn't that nice that she did that? But
That is lovely. That's a really lovely thing. To hear about that. I mean, we've just touched upon friendships on this episode, but certainly there's lots going on with the work life as well, with the customer service issues, the fire that happens in the building. There's quite a lot that goes on. But I think we've got a whole other episode at least to go through that. But I think that's another thing about, you know, the role of a holiday rep. And I don't know if you remember all those awful holiday rep programs coming out that just made it look like all we did was party and
sunbathe. That's what I tried to avoid with the book. I wanted to cover areas where I had fun like that to an extent, but I never had parties like you heard. And I wanted the book to be as authentic to my experience, not what the reader may want to experience. Now there are definitely books out there that cover those aspects, and there were definitely other reps that had that type of way of life, and that's good for them if they enjoyed it and that was their career and that's what they did. My rep life was far more, I wouldn't say conservative, but it was far more. I went about it a different way because I had an end game. You know, repping for me was just a part of the transitional period of what I was doing. I was aiming to run a big travel company. I was aiming to own my own airlines and stuff like that. So this was just a gateway, a stepping stone for me to do that. And so I took it very seriously. And I learned such a lot about people and the lies people tell and the emotional stuff. You know about Mr. Honey and all that sort of stuff. And, you know. But I won't go on it because you want to talk about that in another episode. So,
think you've captured a great balance actually in the book of the personal life, but also, you know, the professional life as well. And you've touched upon, you know, many of the customer service issues that reps face on a day-to-day basis with, you know, things that happened to me when I worked overseas. None of my friends would ever relate to that. You know, they can't relate to a whole hotel being shut down and, you know, you're facing a group of people that are quite anxious, you know, dealing with people whose loved ones have just passed away. There's so much goes on. But the book's got a great balance. That's something I wanted to say between talking about the job itself, but also bringing it to life with the time outside of work as well. You know, it's great to know what we do in our uniforms, but lots of people want to know what we do when we're not in our uniforms. So
I think I don't know about you, Miranda, but were you ever a target? I was.
Oh, continuously. It was always the rep's fault, wasn't it? If it was too hot, too cold, it's the rep's fault.
I mean romantically. Were you a target for the, because there's stories between the two books, there are stories, but I mean, I felt that I was always a target for, you know, they would target the rep. It was like as if it's a mark on their shoulder that they've achieved. Do you know what I mean? I felt you could be a target.
You're talking about the famous scoreboard.
yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I believe reps are at the top. We can top points. So, yes.
Yeah. I certainly experienced that quite a few times.
I know. The badge did seem to have a magnetic force to it, didn't it? So.
But, and also the uniform. I mean, I think if you put the uniform on your badge, and you, why is it, it's very noticeable, and particularly British in particular, but why is it that when we go, the people that are very sensible at home and, you know, the minute they go overseas, certainly in that period in the 80s and 90s, you became the most important person in their life.
Because you were. We did all the arranging, the looking after.
It was quite funny, wasn't it?
Well, it was the best job in the world, Wesley. Best job in the world. Yeah. Anyway, so that wraps up this episode. Thank you very much for sharing and spilling the beans on some of the ones that got away there, Wesley. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Beyond the Page with Wesley Baker with host Miranda Kilstrom. Thank you for joining us on this journey behind the books. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow, rate and share the podcast so more listeners can go beyond the page with us. Until next time, keep turning the pages. The story is just beginning.